All right, good morning, everybody. Today's Daf and Shabbos is Daf Chav Ches. We're at 28. We start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Kol Yotzim and Eitz. So any derivative of a tree, right? Obviously, we're speaking generally about wood, but we're really talking about any derivative from a tree, Amalek and Bo, so you can't be Malik with it. Okay, it's simply not going to be acceptable. Perhaps because of its inferior nature, although the Mishnah is not particularly clear about why not. But whatever the case is, so you can't use any derivative from a tree as a wick. But the exception, of course, is flax. Flax is considered an eighth, it's considered a tree. And so therefore, flax may be used as a wick, but nothing else as a derivative of a tree may be used as a wick. Before we go on the Mishnah, so if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi, very interesting. He writes, it's the first Rashi in the Mishnah. So Rashi says, you know what this obviously prohibits us doing is that basically any derivative from any type of tree or any type of vegetation is going to be off limits in terms of using for a wick. And Rashi includes in this short list of things that you can't use, semer geffen. So according to this Rashi, you're not allowed to use cotton as a wick. Tosos, you can see the Tosos inside. It is ematam tumas olam pishtan. No, not that Tosos. Sorry, the one before that. Kol ayotzim and eitz and malikim bo. It's the first wide line of Tosfos. And he writes pesh bekunshus la'el kigon becomes with semer geffen. So he quotes the Rashi that I just quoted that you can't use cotton. The ain nira l'Rabbi Natam. Now Rabbi Natam looks at his grandfather's interpretation of the Gemara and says can't be. The im kain ye asa la'alik bo. And that would mean that you can't use cotton as a wick. And Rabbi Natan says, our minhag is that we light with semer geffen. And cotton is an excellent wick to create a fire. So in other words, we do it, says Rabbi Natan, and it's excellent. So in other words, why should cotton be forbidden? Now, the answer to that question is very simple, because the Mishnah says so. Meaning, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to use yotzim and eitz. So, okay, good. V'omari v'adai mod lahalik b'kanzus v'semer geffen, denim yotzim and eitz ala zerahu. So then what we're now going to do is we're going to really work on a definition of what is eitz versus what is semer geffen. Semer geffen says tosfo, so he quotes the re, so semer geffen is zera. Meaning, now I don't know, in other words, I don't know enough about botany to tell you, like, in other words, what's a tree versus what's not a tree. But I have a general idea of what's going on over here in Tosfos. Meaning, if it's something low-lying to the ground, like cotton, so you can't call that a tree. A tree needs height, it needs thickness, meaning there has to be some sort of, even when the Mishnah says the trees are out of the question, you can't use a derivative of the tree, it has to be a tree in the sense that it's got to be something where we generally assume to be tall and big and fruit grow out of it. Huh?
Could it depend on Hilchos Brachos?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But then you really... Correct. But then what you have to do in this discussion is you got to figure out where Pishon, where flax fits into this whole discussion. Because look, the Mishnah says very clearly, I can't use any tree, but I could use a flax. So in other words, a flax plant obviously is in this category, whatever this category is, and the Mishnah is telling us that the flax plant is the exception to the rule. So somehow, in this working on this definition, or trying to work on this definition, you got to say, which is basically what the Re is saying, is that cotton is not even in our discussion. But the flax is in this discussion. Okay, so you gotta really work on it. It's hard, meaning that it's tricky to understand now what we're trying to describe when we say tree. Any derivative of the tree is going to be prohibited. Okay, anyway, let's move on in the Mishnah, but it's an interesting discussion, and I'm not particularly sure if Rashi also means to say that you're not allowed to use cotton, although Rashi, that's how Rashi does explain the Mishnah.
Where does the flax come from, the stem or the seeds? Oh,
no. Now you're going too far. Now you're assuming my knowledge of the flax plant is really that extensive. Okay, now we're back in the Mishnah. V'chol yotzim min ha'eitz, ein matam tumas olam el pishtan. And anything which comes off of the tree is not metam tumas oel, except for pishtan. Okay, let's explain this a little bit better. Okay, tumas oel, not that long ago we were discussing tumas oel. We get to revisit the discussion today. And tumas oel we know is as follows. If I have a mace in this room, so I have a roof over the top of my head, Now, this roof, it's a funny roof. It's like really like a fake roof, because it's like really, in other words, it drops down from the ceiling and they just throw some pieces of styrofoam up there, and okay, it's not, I understand. Huh? A little asbestos on top of that. Yeah, so it's not, it's okay, so I understand that this roof over here is not the classic roof, but okay, but you get the basic idea. The basic idea is that, let's call this what's above us a roof. So if there is a mace in this room, God forbid, if there is a mace in this room, so that means to say that now the tumah goes up to the roof, spreads out, and drops down now to anything that's underneath the roof in the totality of this room. And then once you have a doorway that goes out to the hallway, so that the tumah spreads out there as well. But again, I don't want to get too involved, because we're going to make a much larger point than the spreading of the tumah. Now, the way roofs spread the tumah is very interesting, meaning that it goes up, hits the roof, spreads out, drops down. What about the roof itself? Is the roof itself going to be tamei? So interestingly enough, the answer is no. Meaning it's a conduit of tumah, it's a conductor of tumah, but it itself does not become tamei. Now, why not? Why not? Why doesn't the roof become tamei? Because the roof is part of the house, which is part of the ground. In other words, the roof is grounded. And I've used this analogy before, but much like electricity, in other words, electricity, once you're grounded, you're not going to get electrocuted. I understand, it's not a great comparison, but it just gives us a way to understand it. So the roof itself as well, meaning it's going to conduct the tumah, but the roof itself is not going to be mekabel tumah, because the roof is connected to the house, which is connected to the ground, so the roof is really grounded. Good? So I have a house that's made out of wood, and the roof, let's say, is wood, so that means that the roof will conduct the tumah, but the roof itself does not become tamei. So when the Mishnah says, kol hayotze min ha'etz eino mitamei tumas ohalim, ela pishtam, what the Mishnah is now saying is that if I make my roof out of any wood material or any tree material, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. But if the material that I use to make my roof is flax, now that doesn't sound like such a strong material, we can basically call it a tent. In other words, if I have a tent that's made out of linen, so the linen itself will become tamei. It's the exception to this rule that we just discussed. Now, if you remember the Gemara a couple days ago, more than a couple days ago, nearly 2 weeks ago, so you remember how we discussed how when I put a, remember the baseball bat discussion? That wasn't really a baseball bat, but it was a mardeya. Whatever the case was, I held it over the mace, and what do we say regarding it? It becomes tamei. So Tosos is a little bit confused, because right now what we're saying is that wood is a conductor of tumah, but the wood itself doesn't become tamei. And meanwhile, the mardeya, the baseball bat that we carried over the mace, so it became tamei.
Can you say that was a kli?
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, not only can you say that, that's essentially what Tosos says. See the Tosos inside. Mashma, I'm sorry. Ain't last Tosos. Ema tamei tumas olam alapishon. V'hadam alav b'perakama v'alatzman b'chol shein mashma. Dekol hakelim naaseh oel lekabel tumah machmas oel. Hachari b'davar hakavua shechibro lekarka. So Tosos says basically what I said back in the Mishnah, but here you see Tosos spell it out. That right now our discussion over here is something which is grounded. Grounded meaning it's connected to the ground. Meaning, look, I'm obviously taking a linen garment, which obviously was at one point detached from the ground, but I'm now making it a tent. Now, making it a tent means that, with pegs, I'm basically fixing it to the ground. Once I do so, it's now mechubel lekark, it's connected to the ground. Ve'ein mitame ela pishtan. And so what essentially our mission now is teaching us is the following. That when it comes to all other wood products, so even though it was chopped, cut into lumber, once I make a house out of it, it's going to be conductor of tumah, but it itself does not become tameh. The exception to that rule is pishtan. Pishtan, even if I do exactly what we just described, meaning obviously I detached it from the ground, and I made a canvas out of it, or I made a sheet out of it. But once I attach it to the ground, so the general rule is it's not mekabel tumah. Pishtan is mekabel tumah. And how do I know that? So we're going to see later on. The Gemara is going to explain. Right, Tosfos over here quotes the Pesukim, but we don't have to do that right now, as the Gemara is going to go through the Pesukim themselves.
By the way, we just looked up flax. It comes from the stem. cotton comes from the seed.
And cotton comes from the seed.
That might be part of it.
Crack research team. Minayin, minalan. We're back now in the, we're starting with the Gemara. Minalan de Pishan Nikre Eitz. So first of all, the idea that we're referring to Pishan is Eitz, right? It's a wood, it's a tree. So what gives us the right to do that? Now, what that means is, when the Gemara is asking this question, it means that really, it shouldn't be put into the category of tree. It really doesn't belong in the category of tree. Now again, it comes back to that discussion, which I'm not really sure, meaning what is an eitz versus what's not an eitz. Meaning, I know Rashi and Tosfos just debated that by cotton, but from the fact that the Gemara has to go out of its way to tell us that Pishon is a tree, and there's a pasuk that speaks to that, it sounds like we would have thought otherwise. We would have thought that Pishon is not a tree. Either way, everyone remember, we're in the second parak of Yehoshua, where Yehoshua sent out Meraglim. Now I know it's, you know, you got to learn your history, because if you don't learn your history, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes of the previous generations, and the previous generation sent out Meraglim and didn't go well. But it was different. Yehoshua sent out 2, he didn't send out 12 Meraglim that he trusted. They went out and they scouted, and I'm sure we all know the story. They went to a town called Yericho, and they met a Zona who lived in the wall. And she was good. She hid them. They made a pact. Okay, you can look it up. It's all in the second parak in Yehoshua. We're interested only on one point of the Navi, which is that when she hid them up on the rooftop, right? V'hiel asam agaga. She took them up to the roof. V'tim nasam bepishtei ha'etz. And she hid them in the flax. But the pasuk says bepishtei ha'etz. So from that pasuk, it's clear, it indicates that Pishtan is in fact eitz. Okay. And so even though it's eitz, it nevertheless is the exception to the rule. So, the first halacha in the Mishnah the Gemara doesn't bother discussing. I guess it's because it's self-evident. I guess. Otherwise we would have a discussion. But it's self-evident. What's self-evident? That flax is an excellent wick, meaning it burns really well. All the other things that come off a tree, it's not a good wick. In other words, when we say wick, we mean a material that draws the oil and is able to keep the flame afloat. Meaning wood doesn't do that. Wood burns beautifully, but wood doesn't draw oil. Wood can't be used as a wick. So, but Pishtan flax, however, it's very fibrous material, and so flax serves as a wick very well. Okay, so you don't really need much discussion in the first part of the Mishnah. It really is self-evident. But what we do need a discussion on is now the next part of the Mishnah. Meaning that when it comes to Ohel and Tumas Ohel, so if I make my roof out of a wood material, it conducts the Tumah, but it itself doesn't become Tameh, as we explained back in Tosfos. The reason why is because it's grounded. The wood is connected to the ground, which is therefore now means that it's grounded, and therefore it's a conductor of Tumah, but it itself does not become Tameh. But meanwhile, Pishon, which is Eitz, that's a given, it's based on the pasuk in Yehoshua, is an exception to the rule. And the Gemara's question now is very simple. Why? Why is it an exception to the rule? Minalan amar Rabbi Elazar gamar oel oel mi mishkan. So the Gemara says it's based on a gzeirah shavah. The construction of the mishkan, right? We're still a ways from discussing in Parsha Shavua the description of the mishkan. You're going to find it in 4 parshios. Actually, the Mishkan itself is really 2 of those 4 parshios, but it's Vayakob Pekudei at the end of Sefer Shmos, and before that it's Truma Tetzavet. More Tetzavet than Truma, but okay, either way. The point is that, I'm sorry, more Truma than Tetzavet, sorry. Truma is the Mishkan, Tetzavet is the Begadim of the Kohen. Either way, in other words, the description of the Mishkan. Now, the Mishkan is made up of a lot of material, but the covering of the Mishkan, the roof of the Mishkan, was made out of the hides of animal and flax. So that is the covering of the Mishkan. Ksiv hacha, zos ha-tara adam ki amus ba-ohel, uksiv hasam, vayifros es-ohel al ha-mishkan, Malahalon Shopishan, Kari Ohel, Afkan Shopishan, Kari Ohel. So now, based on the Gzeira Shava, we're now going to say the following. Just like we know for a fact that by the Mishkan, that which served as the roof of the Mishkan was Pishtan, and there was no other material that was used for the roof. So now we go to the Parsha of Tumas Ohel, which is Parshas Chukas, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yutes, and there the Torah describes Zos Torah Adam ki amus ba ohel, and in that parsha the Torah goes on to describe how if the ohel serves as a roof for a mace, you are going to sprinkle on the ohel itself from the paraduma. So you see that the ohel can become tamei, but based on the gzera shava, we know that the ohel in discussion is only an ohel made out of pishna, no other material. So Avkan Shopishan Kari Ohal Ima Lahalan Shizurim Vichutin Kaf of Vav. Avkan Shizurim Vichutin Kaf of Vav. So the Gemara says, okay. So really, so it's all based on the Gzera Shava. So what we're going to now do, says the Gemara, is basically take the Gzera Shava to its logical conclusion, which is that we have a link, a hyperlink, if you will. Such a great way to view Gzera Shava now. I mean, in the world of computer. And so if you have a hyperlink between the construction of the Ohel of the Mishkan and the Tumas Ohel. So you're right. An ohel of the Mishkan is made out of the only organic material that's used to make it. Well, not organic, meaning the hides of an animal are also organic, but the only vegetation that's used to make the roof is Pishtan. But did you also know that the flax is spun and is also made up of six strands, meaning it's very specific in terms of how the Pishtan is made. So you want to now go back to Tumas Ohel and tell me that the only time that flax is susceptible to Tumas Ohel is only if it's spun and only if it's made out of a six-stranded cord. So Tama Lomer, Ohel Reba. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to conclude that way. Why not? Because Ohel is a Reboy. In other words, in the Parsha of Tumas Mace, it says Ohel not once, it says it multiple times, and so therefore it's a Reboy. Ohel, O Reba, Afilu Kol Mila Nami. So once we establish that it says Ohel a number of times, then it's a Reboy. So why don't we include other materials as well? So Im King Gzereshava, Mayanulez, but the Gemara says, but then we kind of lose our Gzereshava. So we have to kind of strike a balance between the Gzereshava and the Reboy. The Gzereshava tells us that the only material that's susceptible to Tumas Ohel, meaning not just a conductor of Tumah, but it itself is going to become Tameh. The only material is flax. How do I know that? Gzereshava. Does the flax have to be prepared the same way as the Mishkan? No. Meaning even if the flax is not spun and even if the flax is not woven as six strands together, it still is going to be Mekabel Tumah. How do I know that? Based on the Ribui. The aim of the Gemara continues. Malahalan Krashin Afkan Krashin. So the Gemara says, okay, but do you know what else is made in order the Mishkan? The Krashim, the beams, meaning there were wooden beams made to used to make the Mishkan. So why don't we say that wooden beams are also susceptible to Tuma? Will become Tame through Tuma Sa'ah. Amakrav Asis Krashim La Mishkan. So the Gemara says, nah, that's not going to work, because if you read the pasuk carefully, it says that you make the krashim for the Mishkan. So Mishkan kari Mishkan ve'in krashim kari Mishkan. Meaning that it's used to construct the Mishkan, but it itself is not the Mishkan. It's ingredients that go in, but it's not the definition of Mishkan. The definition of Mishkan is the roof over the top of it. You know what it's like? It's kind of like sukkah. Right, to give you another example of this idea. Meaning, when we say sukkah, what are we talking about primarily? We're talking primarily about the roof. Meaning, the walls of the sukkah you can make up of anything you want. The roof has to be, has definite qualifications of what it can and cannot be. Because the sukkah itself, the very definition of sukkah itself, is the walls, is the roof over the top. So here also, the krashim are used to make the Mishkan, but they're not the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the roof over the top. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's continue on this train of thought. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk. The pasuk says that v'asisa michsei la'ohel. You will make a covering for the ohel. And based on this line of reasoning, it comes out now that the michsei is used to make the ohel, but it itself is not the ohel. Okay, maybe that's correct. But the Gemara says, Ella hadabai Rabbi Lazar or behemoth tamea maushi tamabawel. Hames. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we do have a question asked by Rabbi Elazar, and the question goes like this. Let's say I have a roof that's made up of the hide of an animal, but it's the hide of a non-kosher animal. I wonder, he says, is that going to be metame tumas ohel? Will that be tame tumas ohel? Now, hashta, or behematar, lo metame, or behematame mi baye? So the Gemara says, now, what kind of question is that? Meaning, because if what you're saying now is that the hide of an animal, of a kosher animal, is not mekabel tuma, so if the hide of a kosher animal is not going to be mekabel tuma, you think that a hide of a non-kosher animal is going to be mekabel tuma? So, or behematar, lo metame, or behematame mi baye? So shani hasam dahada ahadre kra dichsiv v'nasuas yirios hamishkan v'esol moed michseu umichse hatachash asher alav mekish elyon latachsam atachsam kari ohal af elyon kari ohal. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we have another pasuk, and the pasuk basically goes on to describe, yes, all the coverings that are used for the Mishkan, every one of them, both the Pishtan covering and the hide of animal covering, all of that is considered the Ohel, meaning not for the Ohel, but the Ohel itself, and so therefore it's going to be Mekabel Tumah. Okay, good. So essentially now what we've resulted in, the conclusion that we have right now, is that anything used as a covering for the Mishkan is not just a conductor of tumah, but it itself becomes tameh. Now, what are we including in this list of things that are used as the covering of the Mishkan? So, just open your chumash and read it. So, the flax of, flax, period. That's one. And two is the hides of animals. Right now, we know for sure hides of kosher animals, and as we're going to discuss in just a moment, perhaps also the hides of non-kosher animals as well. Okay? And so that means now that any time that I make a roof out of any of these materials, it's really only two in question, so that means that these roofs are going to be both a conductor of Tumas Ohel, and also it itself is going to become Tumah with Tumas Hames as well. Gufa. The Gemara says, let's go back to this discussion. By Rebbe Lazar or Behemah Tameah Maushi Tameh Tumas Ohelin, my Kami Bayele. Now, this question, Rebbe Lazar. If I have the hide of a non-kosher animal, is that subject to Tumas Ohel, yes or no? The Gemara wants to know, what's the question? Meaning, it should be pretty straightforward, shouldn't it? Anything that's used as the covering of the Mishkan is subject to Tumas Ohel. Anything which is not used for the covering of the Mishkan is not subject to Tumas Ohel. So why is Rabbi Elazar posing a question? Shouldn't we already know the answer? So Amar of Adar Ba'ava, Tacha Shayabi Me Moshe Kami Baile. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what the question is? The question is, what is the Tachash? Meaning that you'll see very often throughout the Psukim, the Torah describes one of the animals that's used is an animal called the Tachash. It's a strange animal. Meaning, as the Gemara is about to point out, we're not even sure what it is. We don't even know what kind of animal it is. Well, right. I knew what was coming up today. You thought, oh, you didn't think I was serious. So the I sometimes am not, but no, not today. Shayabi me Moshe kami ba'ile tame hayotaraya. And the Gemara's question is very simple. Look, we know that Moshe used as one of the coverings of the Mishkan the hide of this tachash, and the question is a very simple one. What is it? It's a kosher animal. It's not a kosher animal. Now, by the way, the fact that it's not a kosher animal, like, it's fine. Meaning, there's nothing inherently wrong with a non-kosher animal. It's just that the Torah prohibits us from not eating it. Now, on Amud Beis of today's daf, we're going to learn how you can't use it to make your tefillin. Meaning, tefillin obviously come from the hide of an animal. And as we'll learn on the Amud Beis, it can only come from the hide of a kosher animal. You cannot use a non-kosher animal for the hide of tefillin, but but we're not talking about tefillin. We're talking about simply the construction of the Mishkan. Right. I guess you could make the argument, well, if tefillin have to be made up from kosher animal, hide of kosher animal, well, right, the Mishkan for sure should. I guess you can make that argument. The Gemara doesn't really formulate that. In the meantime, however, the question here is really simple. What's a tachash? I'm Rav Yosef, Maiti Baile, Tanina, Lo Hochshul HaMelech HaShemayim Ela Or Behemah Tara Bavad. Well, Rav Yosef says, I don't even understand. Like, it's a question? He quotes a braisa And the Braisa says, Lo hukshur la malecha shamayim, the only thing that's acceptable for malecha shamayim is only or behema tahara, only the hide of a kosher animal. Bovad. We don't know what it is. Simply put, we don't know. We don't know. So what the Gemara is now offering as a suggestion is, well, maybe it's a non-kosher animal. So Rav Yosef says, wait a second, I just read a braisa, and the braisa says, I know this braisa, that for malecha shamayim, you can only use kosher animals. So Mesa Rabbi Abba, Rav Yehuda, Mishnei Mechsao, Sayu Acha, Shor, Say Lim Adamim, Ve'echa, Shor, Techashim. So Rabbi Abba quotes the following braisa. And the braisa says that according to Rav Yehuda, there were two coverings over the Mishkan. One was made out of Elim Adamim, red rams. And the other one was Aros Techashim. And Reb Nechemiah Omer Michse Echad Hayav Adama Kemin Tala Ilan. And Reb Nechemiah says, no. It was one covering, and the covering resembled the hide of a Tala Ilan. Now, Tala Ilan, what is that? I don't know. But I do know the following. It is not a kosher animal. It is a non-kosher animal. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. V'hatala ilan tamehu. So the tala ilan is tameh. So, I've just now cited, not me, Rabbi Abba, just cited a braisa, and the braisa says very clearly that the tachash, covering of the Mishkan, is a non-kosher animal. So, what kind of assumption are you making? Well, it's the Mishkan, it's got to be coming from a kosher animal. The Braisa says no, at least according to one opinion in the Braisa. So, hachikamar kimin tala ilan hu sheish bo gavane harbe, v'lo tala ilan di lo hasam tame v'hacha tahor. So the Gemara says no. When the Braisa describes the covering tala ilan, it was an adjective, it wasn't the noun. Meaning, it looked like the tala ilan. The tala ilan is this animal that has a striped hide to it, or a multifaceted, a multicolored hide to it. Again, I don't know what the tala ilan is, so.
Moose.
Huh?
Moose.
He's a moose.
He's striped, some of them.
Okay. Again, more of my crack research team. So, okay, whatever it is, it's a non-kosher animal with multiple colors to it. So when this braisa was describing it, the covering of the Mishkan, as the tala ilan, that's an adjective, not a noun. So it just means it looked like the tala ilan, but it's not the actual tala ilan itself. Am Rav Yosef Yahachi Haina Dimitagaminan Asas Gvana. Rav Yosef says, now I understand Targum. Meaning, look, we're trying to figure out what the tachash is. So why don't we do the following? Why don't we look at unklos? Meaning, we're trying to figure out what the definition of a word in Chumash is. So one of the primary sources for the definition will be unklos, Targum. Now, unklos, as we all know, lived during the Bayis Sheni, lived during the Second Temple, and he wrote one of the original Targums on Chumash. To this day, we have it. It's a little bit challenging for us because Targum, obviously, is in Aramaic. So for us, it would only serve as a way of helping us understand the Chumash if we really knew our Aramaic well. So, but nevertheless, so if you look at Unklus over there on the Pasuk of Tachash, he describes Tachash as being Saskevana. And how do we understand that word? Now, it's interesting. The Samach and the Sin are going to be interchangeable. Well, which makes sense because they produce the same sound. So, Saskevana is really, we could take that word and we could divide it into two. Shesas begavanim harbei. Now the word gavna means shades, right? So it's multi-shaded. It's right. Sas means to be joyful. It rejoices the sameach. Rashi says shesameach biyofyo begavanim, meaning it's a kind. It's not a peacock, but you know how we have this image of the peacock being multicolored and proud. So that's kind of what the unklus is trying to describe over here. Okay. So in other words, again, it speaks to this idea. Ihach, by the way, when the Gemara said Ihach, the Gemara wasn't challenging. It was reinforcing the point that it's not an actual description of what it is. It's just an adjective. It's just describing what it looks like. It looks like some sort of multicolored animal. So again, simply put, what is the tachash? Right now, really, we don't know. But to say it's a non-kosher animal for sure, don't be so quick. And even though the Braisa described as a Tala Ilan, the Braisa didn't mean it actually was a Tala Ilan, which we know is a non-kosher animal. It just simply meant that it was multicolored. It looked like a Tala Ilan. Okay. Rava Amar Orbe Emetameh Demetameh Be'ol Ameis Mehacham. Okay. Good. So the question of Rabbi Elazar is still now on the table. Question is, a hide of a non-kosher animal, is it or is it not going to be subject to Tumas Ohel? Okay, so again, wood we know is not subject to Tumas Ohel. Again, when we say wood, we mean wood that's constructed into a house connected to the ground, so it's grounded, is not subject to Tumas Ohel. It will conduct the Tumah, but itself does not become Tameh. The exception to that is going to be Pishtan. Why is Pishtan an exception to that? Because it was part of the used for the construction of the Mishkan. What else was used for the construction of the Mishkan? Hides of animals. Hides of kosher animals for sure. The question now on the table is, what about hides of non-kosher animals? So now Rav is going to attack this question, but from a different angle. We are in the Gemara now, the last narrow line of the Amud. Rava Amar or Behemetameh Demetameh Ba'ol Hameis Mehacha Ditanya. So he says it is subject to Tumas Ohel, and I know from the following Braisa. Or Obeor Reba. Or Behemetameh Vishalaka Biyad Kohen Katsas Mikulan Va'asa Achas Mehem Minayan Tamalomer O B'chol Malaches Or. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Now these psukim are not from Parshas Chukas. These psukim are from Parshas Tazria. And so we're back to, I know it's going to sound like yesterday's daf all over again. We're back to Tumas of Nigayim, of Tsaras. And what this Bryce is essentially telling us is that when you have the hide of animal that's cut out and made into a covering, a fabric, a garment, so it's going to be subject to Tumas Tzaras. So what do you see over here? That even if I use the hides of a non-kosher animal, so it is subject to Tumas Tzaras. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's Tumas Tzaras. We're not talking about Tumas Tzaras over here. We're talking about Tumas Ohel. That's a different type of Tumah. So the Gemara says, okay, so all you've done for us is identify that in the world of Tzaras, in Parshas Tazri and Parshas Mitzorah, so the hides of animals subject to Tumas Tzaras. But that's not what we want to know. Our question is it subject to Tumas Ohel? That's Tumas Ameis. That's a different type of Tumah. And we know that there's a Chumrah by Tzaras, specifically, that even the strings itself, the strands itself, are subject to Tumah. Meaning that you don't even need to make it into a fabric. This is part of yesterday's discussion. Even if you just simply have the threads ready for the loom, the horizontal and the vertical, or the, I should say, the vertical and the horizontal, the Shesi and the Erev, so that is subject to Tumah Tzaras. So there's a Chumrah by Tzaras. So then I can't extend it from Tumah Tzaras to Tumas Ohel Hameis. Ella Gamar Mishratzim Detanya. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about if we turn to the Parsha of Shratzim? That's a Parsha earlier, that's in Parsha Shmini. Or Enli Ella Or Behema Tahara Or Behema Tamea Minayan Tamalomar O Or. So I have now another Pasuk in Shratzim that tells us that the hide of a non-kosher animal that's made into a garment is subject to Tumas Shratzim. So that means that if a Sheretz touches the hide becomes Tameh. So the Gemara says, again, that's very good. But that doesn't get us to where we want to be. We're trying to analyze and discuss whether or not the hides of non-kosher animals are subject to Tumas Ohel. And again, the Chumrah by Shratzim is that even if it's a small Sheretz, or even if it's a piece of Sheretz, and even if the piece of Sheretz is a lentil, an Adasha, it nevertheless is going to be a source of Tumah. And that Chumrah is not true by Tumas Ohel. Ohel HaMeis. How much mace do you need in order to convey Tumah? In order to be a source of Tumah, you need a Kezias. And Adasha is significantly less. So now, the hide of non-kosher animals, where do we see that in Drush, in Drushas? We saw that by Negayim, and we saw it by Shratzim. And what we'd like to do is we'd like to take it, carry that over now to Tumas Ohel HaMeis. The problem is, as the Gemara just pointed out, is that avechum rabbi sheretz and avechum rabbi nega. So you know the next step of the Gemara is, you should know this by now, right? This is classic Gemara structure. So if neither of them could be the source, so how about the combination of the two? The tzad ha-shava shabahem, the common denominator. So negai milchich v'chazor din, lo rizek, ha-tzad ha-shava shabahem, sho'or tameh behem v'aseh, or behem ha-tameh. Sorry. Tzad ha-shava shabahem, I read a little too quickly for myself. Or tameh behen, v'asa, or behem ha-tameh, or behem ha-tahora. Afani avi, ol ha-meh, sho'or tameh bo, v'naseh, or behem ha-tameh, or behem ha-tahora. So I'll use the common denominator between the two. You're right. Each one in and of itself cannot be transferred over to Tumas Ol Meitz because each one has a Chumra. But if I look at the two together, and now I draw out the common denominator between the two, so the common denominator will tell me that just like in those two, when we say hide is tummy, it doesn't matter if it's a hide of a kosher animal or hide of a non-kosher animal. So here too, by Ol HaMeis, I'll say the same thing. So Amalei Rava mi Barnish lo Rav Ashi ikla mifrach ma'alat zada sheva shabahem shekein tamein bepachos mi kezayis. Tomra b'mei sheinu matamei ela bekezayis. Even when I look at the common denominator, I still can't take the halacha and move it over to Ol HaMeis. Because Ol HaMeis, how much mace do I need a kezayis? In either of the previous two, Sheretz and Nega, you need significantly less than a Kezias. So I can't transfer over. By Nega, how much do you need? A gris. A gris is a spot on the garment that is basically the size of a dime or a penny, however you want to go. And when it comes to Sheretz, how much Sheretz do you need? The size of a lentil. So in other words, either one of them is significantly less than a kezias. So therefore, even with the tzad hashava, I can't bring it now over to mace. And again, we are now still stuck in that same position. We don't know. We do know that the hide of an animal, if used as an ohel, as a roof of a tent, not only will conduct tumah, but it itself will become tameh. But at this point, we still don't know. Is that true for even the hide of a non-kosher animal? Ela amar rava mi barnish. Top of Chavchesim and Beis, Asi Bekavachom and Minosu Shalizin. So basically, now the Gemara now is going to offer a new limud, a limud of Kavachomer. Meaning, up until now, what have we tried? We tried Gzereshava, didn't work. We tried Binyanav, that didn't work. We tried Binyanav Mishnei Suvim, that didn't work. So now the Gemara is going to attempt Kavachomer. Kavachomer and Nutsu Shalizim using the hair of goats. Shein metame benegayim metame ba'ol ha-meis. Look, it's not going to be metame with nega, but it will be subject to tumas ol ha-meis or behema tamesh and nitma benegayim. In addition, nitma ba'ol ha-meis. So now I take the hide of a non-kosher animal, which is subject to tsaras. So if it's subject to tsaras, for sure it should be subject to tumas ol ha-meis. So the Gemara now says, good, kavachomer done. Registered, we're now good. So now we've come to the conclusion that the hide of a non-kosher animal is going to be subject to Tumas Ol HaMeis. Good. And now what we're left with is the brisa of the previous page. You remember Rav Yosef quoted the brisa on the previous page, and it says that when it comes to Melech HaShemayim, you can only use the hide of a kosher animal. And now the Gemara now wants to know, so what are we talking about? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we're talking about. So, Lahukshu and Lecha Shamayim Ela or Behematar Bavala my Hilchasa, Litfilin. So it comes to teach us a halacha regarding tefillin, i.e., when we make our tefillin, so both the batim, the actual box itself, and the ritzuos are both made out of hides of animal. But now what we're learning is that it has to be the hides of kosher animal. So the Gemara says, and this is based on a braisa, lamai hilchasa, l'tfilin, tfilin be'ejik sibu. So the Gemara says, first of all, what do I need a braisa? Before I get to the Torah Shabbat Peh, I can just look at the Torah Shabbat Chsav, and it's right there. The pasuk says at the end of Parshas Bo, l'man tiyat Torah Hashem beficha, min hamuter beficha, that you put the tfilin on you, so that the Torah Hashem should be in your mouth. Now, obviously, you're not putting your tefillin in your mouth, but the point, however, that we're making is that just like the only thing that can go into your mouth is going to be something which is kosher. So the construct of the tefillin can only be made of something which is kosher. So that the hide in question has to be hide from a kosher animal. So what bothers the Gemara now is, I don't need a brisa. The brisa that says that lo hukshur b'mlech shemayim ela or behema Torah, what do I have a brisa for? I just look at the pasuk in the Torah and it's clear. So ela le'oran. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. In terms of the cloth, you're absolutely right. That has to be made up of the hide of a kosher animal. But let's not talk about the cloth. Let's talk about the actual box itself, where the cloth is enclosed in. Maybe the Bryce is needed to talk about the box itself. So the Gemara says, that can't be. We know that on the box, specifically on the Shorosh, so we know there's a shin. There's actually a shin on both sides. One shin is made up of three lines, and the other shin is made up of four lines. Okay? And that shin is there. Why? Halach l'moshe m'Sinai. So in other words, what the Gemara now is arguing, this is interesting, is that the cloth inside the tefillin is cloth. That's a given. That we all understood. That's where the parshios are written on. But the bias itself, the batim themselves, are also a cloth. Much thicker, of course. Meaning we don't think of it as cloth because it's hard and it doesn't roll. So we don't think of it as cloth, but you know what it is? It's a cloth. Why? Because I'm putting a letter on it. I'm putting on a shin on it. And if I'm putting a shin on it, and that shin is not just a nicety, it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that I have to etch a shin on the bottom themselves. So that means that is also considered a cloth. And so now when I go back to the pasuk of Lamanti etars Hashem beficha min amuter beficha, that the cloth itself has to be something which you could have eaten, not the hide, of course, but the animal in which it's derived from. So that's not only talking about the cloth and inside the box; it's talking about the box itself. So once again, why do I need the brisa? The question keeps coming back to the same question: lekorchan b'sa'aran ulatofran begedin. Well, when I tie the box together, so you know that you use the sinews of an animal. Yeah. It has to be the animal. What kind of animal? Kosher animal. So the Gemara says, Hanami alach l'moshe m'sinai hu detanya tolem ruvaos alach l'moshe m'sinai. So the Gemara says, that too is halach l'moshe m'sinai. The fact that the box has to be stitched together and squared, that's also part of halach l'moshe m'sinai. By the way, open up the Rambam to the halachas of tefillin. The Rambam counts 10 halach l'moshe m'sinais that we have regarding tefillin. We're going to go through most of them right now. Ella l'ritzuos. So the Gemara now suggests, well, maybe the ritzuos, maybe that's the part that is not explicitly mentioned in the Chumash, and that is what I need the brisa for. That the straps of the tefillin, which tie the bottom to you, to your arm and to your head, so maybe they have to come from a kosher animal, and that's not a pasuk, that's the brisa. Gemara says, no, not that as well. V'amar Rav Yitzchak, Ritzur Shecharos Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Ritzurs have to be black, that's Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. Not well known, but do you know that there's no Halacha Moshe M'Sinai regarding the actual boxes themselves? Meaning, we paint them black, but the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai is going on the straps. They have to be black. The fact that we paint the bottom black, that's hider. And that just, in other words, so that you have a nice consistent look to your tefillin. The straps are black, the bottom are black as well. But the ikar halacha of black is going on the straps. The straps have to be black. So the Gemara is now assuming, well, if that's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, so you know what else must be? The fact that the straps have to come from a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we could draw that distinction. Nihid de gemir shcharos taros mi gemiri. Yeah, the straps have to be black. I'll give you that. That's halacha moshe m'Sinai. But do they have to come from a kosher animal? Perhaps that's not halacha moshe m'Sinai, and perhaps that's what I need the brisa. The brisa is coming to tell me that the straps have to be made out of a kosher animal. Good. My havi Allah the tachashaya be Moshe. The Gemara now wants to know.
Ended up with that,
everything else mentioned, everything else by tefillin, it's that's halacha moshe m'Sinai. The only thing left for any type of discussion, not even a discussion, but in other words, the reinforcement of a braisa is only the straps. Absolutely correct. But the conclusion, of course, is the straps have to come from a kosher animal. Now, the Gemara wants to finish up this whole discussion by going back to the tachash. So, can we have any more clarity on what the tachash is? Now, it's interesting because the Gemara says, my havi Allah, and as we've seen time and again throughout the Gemara, my havi Allah means, let's come to a halachic conclusion. You know, it's funny, what halachic conclusion over here are we talking about? We're talking about the historical reality of what the tachash was. And we don't have a tachash anymore. So, it's a little bit strange. Amar Rabbi La, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Tachash Haya Bimei Moshe, Biri Bifnei Atzma Haya. It was an animal that was just simply unknown.
The 11th grade girls today are in room 203, and the Chabad Minyan is in room 211. Terry, if you're not upstairs, please go upstairs.
Okay. Those listening at home, that's the boss call. It comes out every now and then. And it means that we're almost done. So bimei Moshe b'riya b'fnei atzma yivalo yichriya b'chachamim imin chayahu imin behemahu, and they did not make any determination whether it's a behemah, whether it's a chay, domesticated or not domesticated animal. V'keren achas ha'isalo b'mitzcho, and it had a horn, a single horn in its head. And yes, of course, we all think that we're talking about the unicorn, but honestly, who knows? And for that moment in history, it presented itself to Moshe. The asomimenu mishkan, and Moshe made from its hide the mishkan. The nignaz, and then Moshe put in geniza, right? So we never saw it again. So now the Gemara says, but by deductive reasoning, we can now assume that's a kosher animal. We know that Adam Harishon also offered an animal as a karban, and it also had a single horn in its head. And the Torah describes how Adam Arishon offered this animal. Now, makrin tarte mashma. Now, the Gemara says, just wait one moment. It says makrin, which sounds like it's plural. Amrav Nachma Yitzchak, makaren ksiv. Look carefully at the pasuk in Tehillim, and you'll see that it's written without a yud. So, in other words, the yud makes it plural, but if you look carefully, we pronounce it makrin, but it's actually without the yud. V'lifshem minei demin behemahu. So, the Gemara says, well, now that we know that Adam Arishon offered it as a karban, so can't we now safely assume that it's a behema? So kevin deika karen kerish demin chayahu v'leisle elachada karen ikalamema min chayahu. The Gemara says the fact that it has one horn is not representative of the fact that it has to be a behema. There are chayos out there that have one horn, so we're left now not knowing whether or not it is a behema, or whether it in fact is a chayah.